Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who's changing the way government does business. Our conversation today is with John Dalrymple, Commissioner, Wage and Investment Division of the Internal Revenue Service. Welcome, John.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Jim Cook. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, John, let's begin by talking about the IRS. Most of our listeners know the IRS as a collector and administrator of taxes, but they don't have a true sense of the scope of the IRS. Could you describe some of the other activities of the IRS for our listeners?
Well, the IRS actually is comprised of about 115,000 employees during our peak seasons. And, you know, we do everything from sending out the tax packages to people so that they can understand how to file their tax returns to actually processing taxes and then ultimately, as you said earlier, collecting it and examining returns. We also have a lot of outreach activities that we do that allow us to help taxpayers understand what their obligations are. So, you know, we really do have a pretty varied operation at the service other than just collecting taxes.
What are the skills of the employees of the IRS? Again, I guess my perspective is accountants and examiners, but what other type folks work here?
Well, you know, before I came to work at the IRS, I pretty much thought that was the case too. I personally do not have an accounting degree, and there's a lot of people here who don't. On the other hand, there are also a lot of people here who do have accounting degrees. Our revenue agents are all accountants. We have other people who are accountants. We have law degrees, a lot of people with business degrees. I personally have an economics degree. We also hire a lot of people who don't have degrees, work in our submission processing sites and our service centers. So it's a really a very wide divergence of backgrounds and abilities that we hire for here in the service.
John, there's been a lot of conversation over the years, especially in the last 3 or 4 years, about the fundamental reinvention that's taking place at the IRS, in large part to become a more customer-centric organization. Can you comment a little bit about what that really means in terms of the daily responsibilities of the people at the IRS? What type of impact has that had?
Yeah, I think it's that's a great question, actually, because, you know, we're actually still dealing with that on a very real-time basis here at the IRS, because everybody has to internalize that to make it actually happen here. And I think, from my perspective, it means actually that from now on, from this point forward, we take into account what impact our actions have on our customers. So, for example, if we have very long lines for people to get help at our customer assistance centers, our tax assistance centers in the field, you know, we're trying to figure out ways to make that service faster for our employees. And our telephone sites, if someone can't get in to ask their question, it's pretty difficult for us to serve them. So we're focusing a great deal of attention on increasing our ability to actually have people access our services. You might think, well, gee, you know, on the compliance side of the house, how does that fit? Because, you know, you've got a particular role there, and it's not necessarily a customer-friendly kind of role. But on the other hand, if you think about the experience that people have when they go through those activities, whether it's an examination or a collection activity, you know, we're actually surveying those people to find out, in fact, you know, A, were we professional, were we courteous, what things were important to you in that interaction, and then we're trying to make changes to, in fact, deliver on those things. So I guess what I'd say is the main thing people would see if they were, you know, sort of stepping back and trying to compare us from the way we used to do business to the way we're doing business now and how we see ourselves in the future, is we're listening more to what our customers are telling us, and we're trying to react to that in real time. And that's easily said. That's very difficult to accomplish.
Well, one of the things that I guess is most visible about the reinvention is the new organization structure. And you're the commissioner of the Wage and Investment Division. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what that really means and what the the responsibilities are of your division?
The wage and investment division, you know, there's about 40,000 people in the IRS that are in the wage and investment division, give or take a few thousand depending on which time of the year it is. There's about 116 million taxpayers that the wage and investment division serves. And the whole concept behind the reorganization of the IRS was to segment our businesses. Before, we were set up geographically, and any district director, any location, was responsible for all the taxpayers within that geographical area. And so it had broad responsibilities around that taxpayer population. What we've tried to do now is segment that so that that we're focused much more on segments of the population. So in wage and investment, it is my responsibility to actually provide, to understand and provide the services and the activities actually that the public need in order to comply with the tax laws. So no longer are we in a situation where our scope is so large that our focus is difficult to attain. I'm like a laser focused in on the wage and investment customer.
John, tell us about your career.
Well, I started with the Internal Revenue Service in 1975. In fact, I just had my 26th anniversary with the IRS a couple of weeks ago. I came on as a revenue officer, which is a collection officer with the Internal Revenue Service. My job was literally to collect taxes from people who had failed to respond to notices or our office collection activities in those days, and then they were turned over to revenue officers to collect the money from. And I started here in Washington, D.C. In fact, I was at the old 11th and E Street office, I'm sorry, the 12th and E Street office, which no longer exists. It's now part of the Warner Building, which has a Pennsylvania Avenue address. And, you know, I spent a number of years here. I spent 5 years, actually, as a revenue officer here, and then I took different management positions in the IRS, primarily in collection, until I was selected for the Executive Development Program in 1990. And as an executive in the IRS, I've spent time as an assistant director, district director, in Los Angeles and in Hartford, Connecticut. I've spent time as a district director in St. Paul, Minnesota. I've been the deputy chief operations officer here in the national office and the chief operations officer here in the national office until I became the commissioner of wage and investment.
What's been the attraction of public service?
Well, you know, I grew up in the 60s. I got out of high school in 1968, so I guess I was influenced a lot by you know, John Kennedy in a lot of ways. And there were a whole lot of people in my I suspect, in my age group who grew up really internalizing the whole concept of you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And also the whole idea of being able to make change from the inside out. And so that's actually what drew me into to government service. That and the fact that, you know, I wanted to get a job.
As you described your career, John, obviously you've been in various positions of leadership for quite a while. And in your current position, you have some direct involvement in developing some of the future leaders in the IRS. Talk a little bit about what you look for in leaders. In fact, in particular, when you set up your organization, what did you look for in your key directors and managers as you positioned them?
I look for people who had vision, first of all. That's important, very important to me. People who I trust. So trust is a very important thing, and you only get trust by through honesty. So I tend to look for people who have built up a long history of being honest and forthright. And then finally, people who have good technical skills in the areas in which they're going to be responsible for. So I mean, if you can find that combination in a person, you know, my sense is to grab onto them and then give them lots and lots of flexibility and room to do their job.
It's a good time for a break, so stick with us through the break, because when we continue our conversation with John Dalrymple of the IRS, we'll return and ask him about the IRS's efforts to modernize and innovate. This is the Business of Government Hour.